Hello, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade sweet, sweet facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate each other on our facts. The points don't matter, but what does matter is that we're all hot. I tried something new. My name's Rachel, and last night I had a dream that I was auditioning for a Coca-Cola commercial, but one specifically where we were dancing in like a fast food restaurant to be like, Coke in fast food restaurants is better than anywhere else. And I remember the choreography. It was so vivid that I remember the choreography still. So you'll get that later.
Whoa. I'm Chloe. I can't remember like any of my dreams lately. But Joni, my cat, has been screaming every morning at like 7 a.m. So he's back to seeing ghosts.
I'm Lindsay, and recently I have been dreaming about work, but not the work that I'm currently doing, about new projects that I've never done. But so I'm dreaming about additional work in my sleep, and then I just wake up and it feels like I've done a day of work in addition to the day of work I'm about to do.
Oh,
it's
so
bad.
Sorry.
It's horrible.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Shem. I fall asleep during movies, and then I just finish off the movie in my head. But like, it's never like better. It's always just like suddenly takes a turn, and everyone just does like about like I watched the 2018 reboot of Halloween last night, and they're all like driving off to like confront Mike Myers, but then in my dream they just took a detour. Just did some hardcore admin for like 3 hours and then just kept setting up stuff and moving cables and wires around and like just ended.
Dead. Amazing. Hi everyone, I'm Keith. And my fun fact is, and you just reminded me of this when we were just chatting before, I can't pronounce my last name, or at least I might be pronouncing it correctly, but I don't know for sure. But I couldn't pronounce my first name until I was 22 years old. And I didn't realize, and it took me, an Englishman, flying to West Virginia to teach Kung Fu at a summer camp. And I would be teaching kids how to punch, and I would go 1, 2, 3, 4. Not realize, to me, the fr sounds the same as, and I had no, so I've been pronouncing my name Keith with an F all of these years. And these 10-year-old American girls taught me how to pronounce my name. So thanks, guy. I'm here to say thank you, America.
I get those mixed up so frequently. And when I went to university, my room number was 333. And my family found it so, so funny because they were like, you're never going to be able to say this. It's like free, free, free.
Free, free, yeah. Free. Free, free, free. Am I allowed to do that? I feel wrong. Oh my gosh. I love so many parts of that story you just told, which I will dissect. We know he teaches Kung Fu. We know that I might not be pronouncing any part of his name correctly. Please welcome the London-based comedian, the fan of the pod, the friend of the pod. Oh, I love this little thing that's happening. He has a very important job in my eyes, a hero. Please welcome Keith Malda.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I love that you teach Kung Fu and that you flew to West Virginia to teach Kung Fu.
To kids, like, calm down.
I know, but to children, like the West Virginia had to fly in an international Kung Fu expert to teach these little girls how to say Keith and punch.
It's like, who is willing to beat up all these little kids? And then Keith, like, raised his hands at me.
Someone's got it.
It's God's work. It's God's work. I'm here.
Yeah. I also think of West Virginia and I'm like, the mines. So what are they training for? What are they doing? What are those kids got planned? I'm scared.
They use machines to get the coal. They use their bodies.
Tiny bodies. They go, wampa boom. And they so sorry.
I just punched.
I did a little taekwondo when I was a kid. And by a little, I mean my friend did taekwondo. And his friend owned the... It's not a dojo. That's a different martial art, I think. I don't think that's the right word. But the practice building. And had a birthday party there. And
you bet your ass. Taekwondo birthday.
You bet your ass I broke a board and almost went back.
Nice.
Shut up, Shem. I know it was pre-broken.
I was going to say, did you break a board or did you spill it all over?
I frantically spilled it, and then in the process of picking it up, I snapped it.
Keith and I are both like comedians who used to be martial arts instructors. So when we perform together, I would always think of us as like the most dangerous combo in London comedy.
We're the
good
most
luck heckling us.
Well, they didn't come back with their words. They literally just came at us.
Beware, everyone. Careful. We're the bad boys of comedy. Are they, because I know nothing about martial arts except my taekwondo background. Are those martial arts, like, do they easily, the skills, do they easily transfer, or are they pretty like separate where it was like hard? Like, Keith, it would be hard for you to do Shem's and vice versa.
I thought you meant, did they transfer to comedy?
Oh. Yeah. How many people did you fight in 101?
Oh, when we did, like, sound, when we did sound and movement, it would all be like,
Although, and what's funny is we, Shem and I would often talk about, oh, we should spar sometime. We should, and I think the first and maybe one of the only times we ever did, we used to do a film called The Movie. And if it was ever the movie form, we'd be kind of looking at each other and like, we're gonna do, and we'd get to actually spar under the facade of improv comedy.
I love that.
You love that.
And it was also fun when Lindsay and Shin would, if I had a superpower, I'd have to try and lift, or I can't do the maths, but whatever 20 stone would be in American numbers. It's a lot, like say 900 pounds.
I don't know stones.
I can lift Keith really easily, but people don't think I can. So that would always be like a cheap way to get the answer. What?
He proves it all the time on public transport, restaurants.
Well, now I don't feel as special when Lindsay and Shem lift us up. Wow. That's their bit. I do very quickly need to say this about what Shem said about watching 2018 Halloween. That's with Kyle Richards in it, who originally played the little girl, who now plays the little girl grown up, which is as close as you've gotten to me of watching a real housewife, because she's a real housewife.
Wow.
Yeah, she broke her nose during that filming and then got a new nose drop after. I was just watching the reunion and they were talking about it.
But the housewife was... She starred in Halloween and then
as a child,
back, but yep. Then came back as wow,
and then came back as an adult. Yeah, she and her sisters were all child actors. One of her sisters grew up to be Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton's mom, wife of the Rick Hilton of the Hilton franchise.
Rachel, that fact was as hot as the phrase "that's hot." Yeah. Paris Hilton tried to trademark back in.
I've just realized I've done bad math because I know Halloween came out early, but I was thinking Scream, which came out in the late 90s, and I was like, that can't be Paris Hilton's mom.
True.
That cannot be. Absolutely can't.
Speaking of things that aren't true, we're going to kick off with our first fact of today, which is going to go to Lindsay.
Okay. Well, actually, it sort of is a little not true. My fact is about the origins of April Fool's Day, which dates back to 1582, and France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. And the Gregorian calendar starts on the 1st of January. The Julian calendar starts on the 1st of April. And so when they switch calendars, it was like, haha, you idiots, you forgot that April 1st isn't the start of the year. And so they would put paper fish on the back of people, which they call the poisson d'avril, April fish.
Poisson d'avril?
The avril, to symbolize a young and gullible person.
I'm a poisson d'avril. Am I saying that right? Poisson d'avril.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're not 100% that's the only origin, which is why when you're like, it might not be true, I was like, well, it might not be true, because they also link it to other festivals. So that's one theory of where it comes from.
It sounds right to me.
I like it.
What I love about the Gregorian calendar. Please, Keith.
Please, Keith.
Why a paper fish?
I don't know.
Why a paper fish? Why do they represent young and gullible?
I don't know.
I didn't research.
I was like, a paper fish, off we go.
Maybe a guppy. I've never seen an old fish.
Guppy
in
French is gullible. Sorry to everyone who speaks French. Yeah, I have no idea, but that's funny. Being like, you're such a transparent fish. Translucent? Yeah. Is that what... Did you say anything about the word translucent? Or
I think I just called it a paper fish. I didn't say
In my head, it was like very thin paper, almost like a sewing pattern.
It was just like... Having absorbed caffeine is what I dream of caffeine giving me, and it gives me none of this.
I think feet had more than your body.
Oh. I think in my head I imagined it as a redfish, like those weird little fortune-telling fishes you used to get as a child, the plastic ones, and you would put them on your hand. Maybe this is a British thing.
I didn't get a fish.
It was like a little, very the thinnest, like plastic, and you'd put it on your hand, and it was based on obviously the heat of your hand, but like... Sometimes the sides would roll up or the tail would flip up or the head. And then there was a breakdown of like what your fortune was depending on the way the fish moved.
Oh,
and
like
if that. Your hand was hot enough, the entire fish would flip over. I'm going to find some. I'll get you some.
Was that good luck or bad luck?
Like, I don't
the
remember.
More movement? Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you're hot, you're like sweaty. So like a big change is going to happen. I don't know.
I think anytime we like switch systems, we should just mock people mercilessly to the point where it becomes like a tradition. Like when the UK switched from imperial to metric, and anyone who said like something in like, oh, it's like 6 inches, and you're like, you fool, have a fish.
You fool, that's 15 centimeters.
Just like slap someone with a fish.
If you use an old 20 pence piece, they'll just like, throw you out the window.
It kind of makes me think we haven't really moved on from like our sense of humor hasn't, because when I was at school, we would get a piece of paper and write kick me and stick it on someone's back.
Yeah.
And in 1582, they would get pieces of paper and stick it on people's back.
They're like freaking
that's
fish.
That's what our great game freaking could fish. Do.
Well, I remember, I don't remember the fact, but I think Rachel, you said that where whoopee cushions came from, and they've been whoopee cushion, cushioning.
They were pig organs.
Pig organs.
Organs. Yum. Yum, 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 yum. But it was just to make a funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't for anything important. It was just to make a tooting sound.
And it was originally just a whole pig.
They just squeezed the farts out of pigs. Ew. Ew, that made me feel funny. I was imagining really thin paper because I've been doing a lot of like collage with like, I've been buying these like vintage paper packs, like old magazines, and I got like a sewing pattern from like the 50s that just was so delicate, and it, like the crinkle crinkle of it, like I don't know if I'm like an ASMR person, but I am for that shit. Like it just like, it's not like a sexual thing, but it's like my brain tingles
like
in a good way. It's like, ooh, crinkly paper. I guess that's why like babies and like dogs like that crinkle noise. Anyways,
yeah.
April Fools. I don't like that at all. I'm normal. Have any of you played an April Fools prank that you remember?
Yeah.
I was like, if Keith doesn't answer, I'm going to be so surprised.
Tell me.
I'm not proud of it, but I'm the classic, and I didn't invent this, which... I guess I'm not, but okay. I used to work at Domino's Pizza.
I didn't know I was in the presence of a hero. I thought your job was important before, but
we just went through a phase of everyone just pranking each other. I was 18 and I probably shouldn't like better by then, and I'd done the classic do you call it surround wrap? I think we call it cling film.
Yeah, saran wrap, right? Yeah, plastic wrap, yeah.
Where you put that on the toilet,
yeah,
and then when the guy goes, it then all sprays back in his Sticky. Face. So,
that's a good one. That's a good one. I love that. And I meant the Domino's thing earnestly. I am the biggest Domino's pizza fan. My mom went to Italy and came back and was like, it's not Domino's. And that's the piece of trash who bore me. I love her. She's trash in a good way.
Not
trash
the pizza, like the country, the whole country.
I can't remember an April Fool's joke that I played, but I will say, Lindsay, do you have one that you wanted to share?
No.
Okay.
Just giggling at you.
Oh, I thought you were like doing the, I had one giggle. Okay. Lindsay, that fact was as hot as a prank that I pulled on my dad in the third grade, which is both
good and made me feel bad after. My dad's very afraid of snakes and is also a pretty large man. And I like threw a snake out, a plastic snake, not a real one, out on Halloween to spook him. And he was sitting in a chair and he leaned back, but he leaned back so far that the whole chair fell down and he hurt his back. And I was like, I've killed my father. But he was fine. He was fine. But it was funny. And then it made me feel guilty.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the Gregorian calendar, which now does vegan sausage rolls. So it's like,
stop. Sham, explain the joke. I missed what?
There's a chain in the UK called okay. Greg's.
Yes. Okay, I didn't have to.
Oh, I thought
that serves vegan pastries.
Oh, what did you think?
I thought we were making a Domino's joke.
A little tag on to Shem's fact, but this chain of bakeries employ 24-hour security guards. That's true.
At their factories or their shops?
No, their shops.
Wow. You gotta keep that.
My friend worked at one of their factories and like would just make huge, like giant batches of like tuna sweet corn that then would like get put in all the sandwiches. I was like, that's a terrible image, which I've now shared with you all.
It's like a bagel shop.
So if like an Einstein Bagels, like yeah. employed with okay.
pasties.
They wish.
Oh. Krispy Kreme.
It's pasties. Like, to
execute. So my favorite place, Cornish Pasty in Tempe, Arizona, mm-hmm. if they employed. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
The high security Einstein Bagels place would be called Fort Knox. Anyway.
Oh.
Anyway.
I missed you, Sam.
Come get some.
How hot is Liz?
It's on tap.
Liz, Lindsay.
My here. Fact.
Well, you are 10 out of 10 hot. Your fact is also 10 out of 10 hot. Such like the school administrators, the anger they felt in my high school when teens, probably teen boys, thought it would be funny to Vaseline the railings of the school,
which is...
Not super funny, more dangerous, especially considering we had pregnant teachers. The teachers were real mad.
No.
Somebody else, I didn't see this, somebody else blew up a sex doll and it floated to the top. That's funny.
That's funny.
That got me.
That sex doll was carrying a child. So.
That was a pregnant sex doll.
That was a pregnant teacher.
That sex doll was our sex ed teacher. And she was with
John. I should explain. Our school was built, like, truly built, designed by a prison architect. So it had it was classrooms and an open middle. Same. So you truly could just see the sex doll from any, I would imagine, from anywhere. I was in class, like I was supposed to be.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as, I've forgotten what it was called, but I'm really hoping that you and Shem remember these gobstoppers that you could buy as a kid. And I think they were called like devil stoppers or something. And you would prank your friends because you'd been, oh, here's a, do you know what a gobstopper is first?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, guys, okay.
Oh yeah, I love those.
So they would be like very normal gobstoppers. And so you'd hit this layer that was this like just red burning, just acid. I don't know what it was.
Oh my god!
But that's how hot your fact was.
Thank
it was
you.
As hot as one of those.
Oh, a devil stopper. That sounds like something that like someone would give me to not be gay. Stop the devil! Stop the devil!
We'll burn it out with a gobstopper.
Did you ever have the big? Because they had the small ones. Did you have the
jawbreakers?
Oh, that's what they were called.
Yes.
Thank the jawbreakers.
Oh, were they everlasting gobstopper? Was it called?
Yeah. Oh think? Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Truly a mound, a soft ball of just sugar.
Oh my god.
Definitely, it just invented by that? A parent who just wanted to be quiet.
Do this.
Let my child choke
it's
on
like
this.
A Kong for a child. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I'm throwing in a mini fact. Oh. When you're having a panic attack, or if you're having a panic attack, they say to keep warheads around, which are like the extremely sour candies.
I like those.
Because it like stops your brain from being in the spiral of panic and like stops it for a second and it gives you a second to like refocus. It's not like a cure, but for some people it works really well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll try it. I was having panic attack and took Xanax and it made it worse. So I'll try
that.
Yeah,
for some people it does that too. Yeah, a lot of therapists are like, just keep some warheads around.
If you tried that with like cold ice cream, and does brain freeze stop it? Like with that?
I don't know. I don't I don't know if it's as like instant of a thing. Like brain freeze might take a second to come on, where like this, you pop it in your mouth and it's like, yeah. But the thing is, I fucking love those. So my brain would just be like, yes, spiral. Maybe you can like scare yourself. Like sometimes I scare myself in the mirror, so I could do that on purpose. Chloe, like, what? And then your brain is like scared, and then you're good to go.
Scare yourself in the mirror.
Not on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Well, I imagine you like playing like, peekaboo in the mirror.
I was imagining.
Where'd the Chloe go?
Like, how does that work? Your brain is
sorry,
more of a
if
model.
I'm just like having a bad day, I just like get high and spook myself in the mirror.
I watch a lot of like videos of birds because I really want a bird, and that you like put them in the mirror and they'll go like, "What doing? What doing?" In the mirror, like peekaboo, what doing? Which is why I really want one of those birds.
Keith, I know you're trying to move on, Rachel, but Keith, do you have pets? We should have established this up top.
Oh yeah, what pets?
She's gorgeous.
Who is she?
Goldador, which isn't a thing, but her mum's a Labrador. Her dad's a Golden Retriever. So she's just a gorgeous. She's almost two. She's still technically a puppy, so she's two.
Oh my god! Stop.
Yeah, she is. This is going to be amazing for the listeners. They can listen. Imagine to
truly the way you described her. You know she's perfect.
Oh, look at the smile.
She is a perfect little girl. What's her name?
Lucy.
I had a dog named Lucy, and Lucy was the best dog. Is the best. Yeah, I grew up with her.
Your stepdad's Lucy, soul connection.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like my stepdad is Lucy, and I was like, no,
my
god. We both have Indian fathers.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I love this. Yeah, my dog was the mother. My girlfriend right now is on Long Island. Her parents. She unfortunately lost four out of four pets all passed away this summer. And her mom was like really gutted about it. And her dad just like showed up with a puppy. But like that he got off of Craigslist, who like took a while to bond because she had like been kept in like one room with like a man. Anyway, so she's there right now with the poopy. So now I'm just thinking about the puppy and how I'm jealous. I want to hang out with the poopy. Okay, speaking of poopies, I can't decide which one I want to do. Okay, in the U.S., I'm going to do this one. In the U.S., there is an annual yard sale that goes 690 miles long. It's called the 127 Corridor Sale, which it originally started as 127 corridors, but now it goes from Michigan to Alabama, and people come from all over the world to shop this yard sale, and it's described as like the perfect slice of Americana, because you'll go down and you'll just hear, they're like, people come all over from the north, the south, the east, the west, and I was like, this is the most middle of America thing, and they're like, you'll hear all kinds of dialects as you look at the bizarre things that happen on this yard sale. And now I really want to go. It happens in August every year. And now it's my dream to have a road trip down the 690-mile long yard sale.
Is it truly just set up along like one route or like one something?
I think now I was like, there's not a ton of information about it, but on Pinterest I saw these like interactive maps. Because like I'm imagining like all these like mommy bloggers are like building maps for their blogs, but it's these pockets of community along.
Yeah,
it's along Route 127, and you just drive along it, and you pop off at all of these yard sales. I think it's so cool, and I bet you can find some like weird shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't come if you're not straight.
I feel like they're like, don't come if you're. Oh, I thought you were saying it as an Australian, being like, if you're not gay, don't come.
No, I started out, I was like, I'm going to do Southern, and I was like, we're slipping into Australian, and we're going.
Don't come if you're not straight.
If you're not straight. I feel like that's a test.
I feel like you would definitely find some, like, but Confederate perfect. Artifacts.
Yeah, but, like, a lot of fun, queer, weird knick-knack things.
Like, I want to take a U-Haul on...
And we keep cutting off Shem.
Oh. No, I'm not.
This is our friendship. Shem is looking at us like, I have something to say that's smart. And we're just like, where is your red chat?
Okay.
No, but I think we could probably pick up a lot of gay stuff there that they've thrown out. Like anytime Disney like has a gay candle in the background, they're like, we're done with this. We're selling it off.
Yeah, like little like knick-knacky. Oh yeah, I agree.
Oh yeah. I feel like I could literally take a U-Haul and then just furnish an entire home. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. When I am rich enough to buy a house, I'm going to take a U-Haul on vacation on this. I already asked Kara and she said, you can do whatever you want, but I'm not going on this.
I'll come.
Yes. We can take a trip and we can buy so many things.
Wait, Keith, next time you teach in West Virginia, we'll set it up so we'll pick you up and then we'll go.
And we'll all learn how to punch. I don't know.
I don't
Virginia's
think so.
Michigan by us.
And Alabama
yeah,
are
Virginia's
not.
By us.
Well, I drove through Jersey. No. Well,
I feel like Michigan to Alabama goes this way.
I think, yeah, I think it's a V because we're like...
But we could go to Michigan and then go to Alabama, end in Alabama.
Yeah.
You should do it and you should... Family in Michigan. You should take your mobile recording equipment and in each state, get like an Alabama guest, a Michigan guest, I don't know, Washington, D.C., whatever's in the middle. You should do it. I would listen
You've
to
You've broken my best friend. I've never seen her rock on a couch before. It does look like I'm, like, fucking the microphone. I'm so sorry.
But all the facts would be, did you know that in that Aladdin, all them genies were gay?
In the war of northern aggression.
Do you know if you pray hard enough, you can change you?
I'm sorry to everyone in the South who's like progressive. This isn't fair to you.
But... Oh, I'm sorry to everyone in the South who's progressive just for the life you have.
Yeah. Yeah. But also yeah. Like, don't leave because we need you there.
That's
okay.
Beautiful, Rachel.
How hot is that yard?
Oh my God. As hot as the, like, there's got to be at least 1,000 fire pokers along the route. Old fire pokers you can buy. And it's as hot as those fires they're poking.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just think it's funny that like your head went to like a fire poker. I love it. Thank
it's
you.
Fall. Happy fall.
Happy spooky.
Keith, do you call it fall or autumn?
Sorry. What do you think he called it?
I have no idea.
Autumn.
I don't know how to pronounce it. But I know there's an M and an N.
You're pronouncing it correctly.
Because autumn feels more autumn, more British. Because we're just like fall, fucking fall.
Foul.
Springs down and it falls up. You know.
Springs down and falls up. Spring forward, fall back.
Spring, winter, and summer, all the same. We just changed up order.
To be fair, like we also call it autumn, but just also fall.
Yeah. The fancy people.
Autumnal. Anyways, how hot is that fact?
Rachel, that fact was as hot as my excitement when I found a Rupert the Bear annual at a car boot sale that I didn't have because I used to collect annuals of Rupert the Bear. And instead of yard sales, we have car boot sales because it's the boot, not the trunk of the car. And people turn up, pop their trunk, and then they just sell stuff out the trunk. They put up a table.
Is that where the term booty comes from? As like treasure that's coming from someone's trunk.
I truly am now going to believe yes.
Arr, welcome to my pirate car booty sale. Like, lost treasures like the Super Nintendo that doesn't really work.
A Barbie with one leg.
You do a really good pirate voice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I met Lindsay in an improv class where we had to do a mono scene as pirates, and I panicked the whole time because I cannot do a pirate voice. And the whole time I was just like, I'm so embarrassed.
I am the captain now.
I can do an excellent pirate accent by accident if I'm trying to do a sincere Irish accent. No offensive, but I can't.
I don't really made
it. Rachel, that fact was as hot as when I went to a Christmas bazaar, which is kind of like a boot sale.
But even better.
In the dryer because it rains a lot. And I got some He-Man figures and some A-Team figures and realized they were made by the same company and I could rip off their rubber heads and put B.A. Barakas on He-Man. I created all of these characters. It was amazing. God. And that was last week.
I ain't getting on no tiger.
I love it. Speaking of things I love, let's break for a short...
Rachel, that fact was as hot as...
Speaking of things I love, Shem.
Rachel, that fact was as hot as the thousands of plastic pink flamingos that are on sale in every single...
Oh my God.
That's all that U-Haul is coming back with.
Kara's going to be like, this is the final straw. This is the final straw.
We're done.
You're like, it's for our flamingo room.
She would let me have a flamingo room to myself.
Right.
Because I had to get rid of my pink flamingo wallpaper in my last apartment. Because she was like, not my taste. We compromised on another wallpaper. It's fine.
You research and execute, but I'm realizing we have a lot of the same design aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would love, where are you finding these flamingos?
Yeah. I'll do it. In the next apartment we move into, I'm going to.
You'll execute.
I would pay Kara and tell her it's my aesthetic.
Okay.
Because she's better at placing things than I am. Speaking of placing things, we're going to place an ad right here. And we're back. I'm so excited to hear from our guest, Keith. What is your fact of the day?
All right, thank you. Well, look, it was really tempting to give you some Prince facts, Arsenal facts, but I'm being really good. And I was like, no, that's too obvious. And chances are, Shem and Lindsay have heard them all because I would have told them 100 times. So I'm going to give you a fact. Actually, this is like multiple facts wrapped up in a big fact.
I'm ready.
With an unexpected ending. That's hyping it up. So my fact is about World War II. Back when war was fun and wholesome.
What was World War II?
That's the Holocaust.
was World War II.
Yeah. But specifically about one part of World War II, and it was about D-Day. So D-Day...
December 7th.
I think so.
Wait.
That's really relevant. Actually, I think it might be June 5th.
It's June.
Good you said.
One of the kids I nannied was born on D-Day. The other one, December 7th, was the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
That's how their parents process grief.
Their mom was a history teacher, specifically my history teacher.
No way.
Yeah.
Did they get like Pearl Harbor themed birthday cakes?
Absolutely not.
Or names. What were their names?
Like Kylie what? And Tanner.
Okay.
Not good. Anything. So. Sorry, keep going.
No, it's fine.
June.
So specifically, my fact is around the deception and what the Allies wanted Hitler to believe, because it all came down to, well, where are England and America and Canada, the Allies, where are they going to attack and when? They're the two big things. So the German forces had built up all of their tanks and stuff at various locations around Calais and Normandy, etc., thinking this is where we know they're coming. We don't know when, but when they come, we're going to be here. So the Allies set up a fake army in the north of England. I could have looked this up, but I don't know where. Some like okay. Probably like Birmingham or somewhere, but somewhere on the east coast of England. And they started making lots of radio transmissions. They created some fictional generals, and essentially it was two teenagers just back and almost like a podcast, just back and forth radioing each other about all of these different units that were moving and dropping it. But they were doing it deliberately because they knew the Germans were hacking in. So it was all for show. To underline that, they knew that the Germans were sending spy planes over, so they created, they had to make it look like when the Germans flew over, there was an army. So what would you do in that situation? Well, let's go to Hollywood. The designers in Hollywood, literally Hollywood, built an inflatable army. So we're talking, there's photographs of people carrying inflatable tanks on their head, so that when the Germans flew over, they would look down and get photos of all of these blow up, basically balloons in the shape of tanks. So then we would go back and look, holy shit, everything that they were saying on the radio is true. They're coming here. With the idea being that the Germans would move all their tanks up north, meaning that we could slip in undetected. So this takes us to the night before D-Day, when have any of you seen Band of Brothers?
No,
just Connor Ratliff scenes.
yes, it's so good.
I feel like an expert.
So D-Day being the morning that all of the troops went over, And Tanner went over for his birthday.
Yes.
But the night before, the Allies dropped in, so they had some gliders and they dropped in all these paragliders. And the idea was we're going to take out the German sentries and these different posts and key bridges. So they dropped in all of these trained paratroopers. However, along with that, they dropped in loads and loads of tiny strips of kitchen foil, silver foil. Like you have that. I don't know if that's, do I need to translate?
Yeah, no, that's it.
You know what foil is. Because as foil is dropping through the sky on the radar, it looks like holy shit. They then, all of the soldiers would look in the sky and they would see thousands upon thousands of paratroopers falling. But they weren't actually paratroopers. They were tiny dolls, like the He-Man dolls, with tiny little parachutes. But in the night sky, they just look like they're further away. But it was literally these tiny dolls all dropping down with all of these strips of foil. My favorite part of this, though, is that we've got the vision. We can see it there. Well, how are we going to make them think that this is genuinely real? They dropped in some actual soldiers with a gramophone, a record player, and their job on D-Day was to hide in the forest with all of these dolls and play a gramophone where they'd pre-recorded all of these gunshots. So they would sit there knowing that all the Germans would be running. And a record, it's not like you can't just press repeat. You need to physically be there to turn the record over. So there were these soldiers who undoubtedly died a horrible, horrible death because their job was to stay there and play these records of gunshots. Aww. But my favorite part, and I will wrap this up because I'm aware it's becoming a long fact.
No.
My favorite part was Operation Mincemeat, which was a part of a deception plan to fool Hitler. And it all fell in with this fake army. They realized, well, if the Germans find a dead British general and he happens to have in his pocket some plans about the D-Day invasion, we can sell that to him. So they went to town and they created this fictional, and they went to, talking about creating a character, they really went into detail. Who does this person like? Does he like fine, you know, does he like steak and martini? Does he like going out dancing? Does he have debts? Is he a womanizer? They said, yeah, he's having an affair. So they had two different photos of two different women in his, and they created this. And there was an actual woman that was working in Bletchley Park, and they actually would write back and forth. So it was almost became real. But then you need to have a body. So they would go to the morgue every night to look at the dead bodies to see who was dead. And you need someone who's just dead enough and they've just died in the right way. And they got the body of a homeless man that died, Shen's going to love this, in Elephant and Castle. Yes. A homeless man that died on the street. It was about the same, the right age to be a German. To be a general. They dressed him up in this homeless guy dressed him up in general's clothes, put all of these papers in his pockets, gave him a briefcase, and they threw him in the ocean, knowing where he would wash up. He was then found by some German soldiers. They took it in, they went through all of the plans, and then they found out, oh my God, this is where they're going to invade. That tallied up with the inflatable Hollywood army. The Germans moved all of their tanks up north, which meant that on D-Day, there weren't many soldiers there. Here's the kicker. The person that created the fictional character of that, the homeless man, the general, his name was Ian Fleming. Does anyone know who Ian Fleming is?
Oh, Chitty Pretty, Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Bang Bang, we love
the creator of James Bond. He wrote Bond. James Bond was almost a real person, where the detail about martini and being a womanizer. So that is the origin of Austin Powers. That's how Austin Powers came about. So that's my fact.
Everything you said was eradicated when Lindsay pointed out that James Bond's creator also did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And then Rachel went, what?
I love
No, it is.
I was like, oh, James Bond doesn't intrigue me, but this man created Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I feel like he was like, cool, what if the car could fly and people saying, I can't put that in Bond. All right.
Oh, Chitty.
It's like he had all these whimsical inventions for Bond and then was like, I gotta have a different outlay for these.
That makes sense. This is really funny because I, for a while, was a history major. And my focus was post-World War II, but like World War II, post-World War II, like DP camps, like transitioning out of the Holocaust. And I'm really mad. I knew about the toy soldiers. I knew about the toy soldiers and the inflatables, but I didn't know about the dude, the floating dude. This is why I dropped my history major, because I kept calling everyone dude. My professors were like, Rachel.
Name is Hitler.
No, my problem was that I didn't like the war parts. I liked the people parts, but that should have been a hint to go into psychology and not this.
A lot of history is war.
No, I know a lot of the parts we learned, but I was like, what is making people make these decisions over and over again?
Because they keep choosing war.
Because of their brain. And that's what I really like. But that is wild to me. Also, I just love that they committed to the bit. They're like, we've got to fully have this man's life mapped out.
Yeah.
That is so whimsical. And I love that they hired this creative.
Yeah.
Hire me for this, but also hire me to end
the war.
That is amazing.
I'm like, wow. I didn't know any of that, so I'm shook. I'm like, wow, the strategy is so adorable. At the same time, atomic bombs are going on. The army is so diverse. They could do it all.
Yeah.
They can drop little dolls. They can make atomic bombs. Am I in the right time? That's the right time. Mid-cinch. I also like that they're like, we have endless freedom to create this character, this man. What do we do? He could be faithful to his wife. No.
That's not true. They're never gonna believe that.
They'll never believe
What's more believable? He's cheating.
He's cheating and put the photo in his wallet.
Can you imagine like being like the, because you know, like my family has like a Purple Heart from my great grandfather. One, he got shot in the butt, which I think is really funny. That's why he got his Purple Heart and got shot in the behind. Because he like.
Was it like grazed or like right in the ass?
I think it was right in the asshole. I didn't ask.
Shem, ow!
It's all corked up down there.
I can feel it in my body.
That's why I'm gay. He worked in like boats, so he was like crouched down and then it shot him in the butt. Anyways, can you like imagine being like, my great-great-grandpa played records in the army.
I want to know how many they had, Keith, because I like that you painted the picture that they're turning it over, not just going back to the side of the first track, and that there were multiple records.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've bought the collection. This is like
also to die with.
Gunshot Volume 1.
Yes. I'm picturing
the Germans are like, I've heard this song before.
Wait. I know we're in the middle of war, but is that beat kind of sick?
Now that's something I could thrift at the 127th corridor.
Yeah, for sure.
I was picturing Lloyd Dobler from Say Anything, who's outside, like holding a boombox up outside his window, but like holding a big gramophone. As he like descends from the sky.
No wonder DJs are awful. This is generational trauma.
They're born
of forest record players.
Also, whoever came up with this, I don't want to see their April Fool's joke, because this could be good. They really commit.
It's a decade in the making.
Yeah.
Keith, that fact was as hot as the Hollywood casting director who cast the homeless man thought he was as he was standing in the morgue going, Tots, we're gonna make you a star. You're never gonna live to know that this happened. But my God,
We don't have to pay you?
This is great. Also, I've got a little bit of necrophilia. Come in, sit on my casting couch. Pa, 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 pa. Pa,
pa, pa. Imagine being one of the other bodies in the morgue and you've died and someone's like, no, you're shit. your dead body is too shit.
So. Like, I've God, already I hope slept I get with it. Him. All God, of the like drawers are opening. God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many bodies does he need?
How many bodies does he look at all these dead people?
I just died today.
Can you believe I started this riff?
That's my resume.
And where's my wife?
Thank you for that contribution.
Of course, Keith will be writing this afternoon, your evening. So that was, thank you. We will be asking you to star as the mortician, if that's okay.
Monfira, I looked up into the sky and I saw 5,000, 2,500,
600 soldiers. 5,000, 25,000 reasons to kill people who are not of the pure race.
Oh, no! Oh, chitty, you chitty, pretty chitty, my
Shem put it in the POV of the German soldiers. They're awful. Have you ever seen, what's the one? The one, if you've got it, flaunt it. Producers.
I have seen it, but not for
it's
a long
about
time.
It's about a Hitler musical.
Yeah. Autumn Time for Hitler, I think.
Spring Time in Hitler
for Germany.
Yeah. Oh, good lord. As Keith is sitting in front of a Kirby Enthusiasm poster. For context.
Oh, you want to hear a bonus fact about that poster?
It's yeah, I do.
Really fucked up. So
I think everything you just said was pretty fucked up.
So I had some therapy earlier this year. I lost my grandparents and my friend. Welcome to the comedy podcast, guys.
Welcome.
And I'm in therapy and like over Zoom, and the poster, as you can see it now, so for listeners, I've got a Kirby Enthusiasm poster, but you can only see the bottom of it where it just says Kirby Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
My therapist asked what the poster was, and I'm going to show it to you now. And if you'd like to describe it.
Oh no. I was like, there's a pair of pants hanging on the ceiling.
Oh, Rachel.
And someone's kicked over a table. Who knows who?
I thought you were going to say, like, your therapist didn't know the show, and they were like, this is a bad affirmation to have on your wall.
What we're seeing is Michelangelo on a bad day. He's given up and he's dropped. And no, he's still hanging up on a harness because he's harnessed up.
Okay.
I can spin anything.
Okay.
Keith. Your fact was as hot as not the new Bond movie that's currently out, but the next one that's going to come where they are going to give Bond chitty chitty bang bang, and no one saw that coming.
I said bomb movie.
No, it's like, Bond 007.
Spooky. I've never seen one. That's not okay. My taste.
There's a, I don't know. So, because I don't know, Keith, your fact is as hot as maybe the female Bond. I thought that was on the table. I don't know if it's coming out or not, but when it does, that's going to be a good movie.
It was out like last week.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
who's
what?
Who's Lady Bond?
What? I definitely know her.
Who's the actor?
I don't know that.
For sure, we all know her.
Okay, it's fine. It doesn't sound like anyone knows.
We don't have to say it out loud.
It's okay. So, Keith,
that fact was as hot as all the allies gathered around the table going, we're supportive and we are really doing our best. And we really need to like talk to all our relatives. They were like pioneers in the field. And yeah, that's how hot your fact was.
And now for our next fact of the day, Shem.
Wow.
Bomb chicka wow wow.
Bomb chicka wow wow. Sorry, I'm pulling up my phone, and then my cousin's in like a local newspaper and in the Guardian.
What?
So like, there's like a lot of, oh, it's because she's she did like a whole podcast about Welsh slavery, and there's a castle with my name on it in the middle of Wales that she's like, I think I now get free entrance because of that. That's not my fact. But it is fun if I ever go to Wales. My fact was because Keith is both a music fan and technically a police officer, I thought I'd combine like
technically.
I don't know.
Sorry. Someone's technically a comedian. Sorry, go ahead.
That's how you'd introduce us when you go on stage. This is technically comedy. But like from this definite police officer and music based fact, there was a riot that was happening on the Twinbrook Estates in West Belfast, where a bunch of teenagers were throwing bottles. And like just, you know, rioting. And then to stop them, the police service of Northern Ireland armoured a Land Rover, put on like loads of like loudspeakers on the front, and then played Ice Cream music, which stopped the riot. It was like a weird psychological trip where they like just they soundtracked the incident and made it feel like immature and bad. And that was really effective. Like it just stopped.
The hair on my body is standing up because I'm so
Oh my
angry.
God, it really is.
I'm like, I would be so mad.
I thought you were going to say like they turned it into a rave and like they were like played music, they were danced and they stopped being angry, but this is...
They just threw out like a bunch of dummies and some MDMA. Just really
inflatable
well,
tank.
I'm back on board.
Wait, that is so funny. Also infuriating.
I would have just been looking for that ice cream truck.
Yeah, that's the point.
Was it? I want a 99.
Was it Pavlovian? Did they hear it? And then this the raving and throwing bottles. They were just drooling, looking for ice cream.
Like massive mob. Like, where's the ice cream?
I think it was because of, they said it was psychologically the soundtrack they gave the event. So had you like been writing when someone plays like some like punk music or some like rebellious, like uplifting, like protest music, and you're like, yeah, we're doing it. But if you're like writing and like throwing out and something do, it's like, oh no, I'm on the magic roundabout. Like you immediately want to give in.
Oh my gosh. The magic roundabout.
TV show from
the 70s. We'll show you a clip.
I was like, is that what you call a carousel?
It was a trippy TV show.
Okay, fun.
And a 99 is like a cone with ice cream and then a chocolate flake in. And a flake is...
like a chocolate cigar? Or like a chocolate twill?
Like a little chocolate thing is actually stuck in.
Like a twill without the chocolate casing on top. It's just very flaky chocolate.
Oh, yes, I'm like really in the mood for ice cream right now. Oh my gosh, it's just me thinking about that.
You can get
ice cream music.
Hey, you can get some.
Hey, thank you,
Keith.
So those police officers were. They must. They don't just put the. Someone has to drive that that van in there. So it's almost like the Allied soldier with a gramophone.
Yeah.
So they're in there playing ice cream music and like repeat. That's
just like my
insane.
Grandpa.
Half a pound of Tupney rice is about to finish. I need a new track.
Yeah.
It wasn't an actual ice cream truck that was playing it, or was
no,
it a real?
It was the music from a police van.
Okay. Because so I was like, what if everyone was just coming up to the police van being like, chocolate?
Well, they were. It was confusing because they also were floating little inflatable ice cream men down from the floor, from the ceiling. I mean, from the sky. That's the right word.
Keith, do you still have access to a police car?
And can you get it overseas?
It won't be our police.
Let's do it.
No, it
let's
is ours.
And we'll take it to Georgia.
Wow, and we'll negotiate the prices of the yard sale because you know how to negotiate.
Wow.
Keith, is that like formally your job? Like you're an. Am I allowed to say
technically.
That?
Technically,
am I allowed? Sure. To, okay.
Yeah,
technically.
That you're like a negotiator.
It's not a full time thing.
You consult.
Don't want it to be because it. Yeah, you go out and negotiate with suicidal people.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Whenever it may happen.
Okay.
So it's good. It's not full time. You almost want to not have that job.
Like, yeah, yeah. You don't want it to be. Where...
Okay. I know I said this, but you guys are really similar. Your volunteer work.
I'm actually not allowed to say publicly.
Just kidding. Never mind. I can say no, I can't say for who, but I'm training to be a crisis counselor for young people.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That's how I started.
Yeah. So. Cool. Keith.
We are the same person.
I love it.
Reef. Yeah.
What? Did you say Reef?
No, I was going to say
Reef. Did you try to put our names together?
No, I was going to say, we've technically never seen your dad in the same room, so is it the same stepdad? It could be the same stepdad. I don't know. We've also never seen you two technically in the same room either.
We're the same person.
Oh no! Hello, I'm Keith. Oh,
no. Then who's that?
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Oh no!
It's amazing because Rachel has been listening to Keith for like a solid hour and still an impression.
A horrible impression. No,
in Rachel's defense, if I do an improv scene and I'm like, okay, I'm going to play an English person, I will I'm literally an English person, but I will go, oh, hello.
I'm literally.
I can just be me.
Like, hold on, am I doing a good job? I'm literally an English person. I'm doing a good job. Am I doing okay? This is me literally trying. I'm Keith. I help people in time of need. No, I'm trying hard. Am I doing bad? Am I doing bad, Dad? Daddy.
Dick Van Dyke would be proud.
Thank you. That doesn't say much. I'm married. Am I doing okay? Do your American accent. Let me hear it. I've embarrassed Shem. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm just delighted. Thank you, Keith. I do like Keith's voice when I'm asked to play an English person. When I'm like doing improv scenes as well. So it's been like great.
That's brilliant.
Wow, no, Keith, you do have a very important job. That's really cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Technically, it's cool.
Technically, pretty cool.
My script says to say it's very cool. But Shem, that fact is as hotty-totty-totty-totty-totty as what I imagined fried ice cream to be, which in my head I thought was going to be like deep fried ice cream bits, which I was like, how? But really, it's just like bits of churros in ice cream. So it's not really fried ice cream. So it's hot, baby, but when you get down to its core, oh, baby, it's a little cold.
Had one that was toasted coconut on the, like a shell of toasted coconut and ice cream.
And it's freaky. Oh, I'm in the
mood. It was good.
Oh my God.
Shem. The fact was as hot as the one person there who was on Molly who heard that truck and was like, oh, fuck yeah. And they were done for 24 hours.
Shem, your fact is as hot as when me and my friends, Becky and Kathy, heard an ice cream van and were like, we need ice cream. And we jumped in a car. We jumped in Kathy's car and we went and chased down the ice cream van, which was high speed at first because it was on a motorway until it could find a place to pull over and serve people. But it's as hot as an ice cream van chase.
What's that movie Speed where the one truck is like following the other truck? No.
Speed is where it has Sandra to stay Bullock. At the same. Oh. Yeah. Like,
what's the one where the one...
Duel? Duel, Steven Spielberg's first movie.
My grandpa made me watch that when I was really young and it really freaked me out. But I imagine like the ice cream trucks like, why does this car keep following me?
We just want an ice cream.
You just start bumping him. Get over! Play.
Wow. Good.
Shem, that fact was as hot as the brain freeze that you get from the cold, cold, cold ice cream where it gets so cold that it becomes burning, burning hot.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hot. That ever happened to anyone else's palms? Or should I see a doctor?
No, okay. Sometimes
it like really, they just burn and you're like, what's in my hands?
Yeah. Yes.
What? Nothing. Yes. Never anything.
I mean, yes, you should see
it. Oh, it is. I'm getting mixed signals from my two best friends who are the same.
It's a sign of poor circulation.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Chloe, things that make sense.
Well,
give us our last fact.
Everyone else already gave facts.
So it has to be me.
It has to be.
It has to be me. Okay. I'm Harry Styles, and I'm gonna do my fact. Okay. I wanted to talk about where pumpkin carving came from.
Oh yeah,
I'm not
spooky.
Into the mic. Where pumpkin carving came from. So basically, they think the practice originated in Ireland and then was brought over by like Irish immigrants who were carving pumpkins and then so on and so forth. But the reason in Ireland they started carving them was it came from an Irish myth about someone called Stingy Jack who tricked the devil for his own monetary gain. When Jack died...
This feels bad.
When Jack died, they were like, well, he was tricking the devil. He's not getting into heaven. He was, of course... not also let into hell because he was tricking the devil. So Jack is wandering the earth. So they started to carve demonic faces out of turnips to frighten away his wandering soul.
Stingy fucking Jack.
Stingy Jack. And basically the reason that it like got connected to Halloween was, there's a Celtic festival, Samhain, celebrated that basically marked the end of summer, beginning of the new year on November 1st. Idiots. But it was believed that...
Fish all over their backs.
November fools.
Idiots. But it was believed during that time that souls would return home and wander. So they were like, Jack is definitely wandering right now. Let's carve these and ward him away.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it just kept on going.
I thought it was going to a bad place, and then it went to a place that I was like, oh, jack-o'-lanterns.
No, it was just Stingy Jack.
Stingy Jack. Just the word stingy feels so loaded to me.
Also, I imagine he was just like
a... nickname.
I imagine Jack was committing a lot of white-collar crimes, like stealing, funneling coins.
Well, like always has to go and use the bathroom when he goes to a bar. And you get this drink.
Yeah, I'll be right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stingy Jack feels like, no, I know it says I should pay you minimum wage, but we really can't afford to, so I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Dead. Wow, I love that.
But started in turnips, which I'm like, those are small, right?
Ooh, they'd be like freaky little, you know, like the shrunken heads
type
of a deal?
Yeah.
It'd be like that, but... turnip style, because I imagine like turnips have like the am I thinking of radishes and turnips?
Well, radishes are teeny.
I don't know.
Radishes are small.
Turnips are like potato size, right?
Yeah,
but round, like an onion.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like a flat top.
But they also have the
they have like a puff of fur, like a chia pet almost.
Did you know? Sorry. Did you know that fucking chia seeds that you pay so much money for are the same shit you rub on a chia pet?
Yeah, you can make a chia pet.
I'm like, this has been around forever.
But I didn't, like, that wasn't common knowledge to me. I saw that on TikTok, like,
same.
Last year.
Did you see them, like, putting,
No.
Chia, okay.
No, I just, they were like, did you know? And I was like, I didn't!
someone made a chia pet out of, like, a woman's body, and they, like, put the chia seeds on her armpits and her vagina, and then it grew
Do
little
Do you have chia. Those in the UK, chia pets?
I was like, women's bodies.
Is it a sex doll?
No. It literally is.
No, it's this just, like, a prank.
It was, like, a 90s fad of these, like, ceramic pots with kind of like slits in them in weird places, so it could be like a hedgehog shape, and you smother chia seeds on it and you water it and it grows like a hair like texture, so you're like little hedgehog dude. Yeah
They got to a point where like you would buy like they were like very commercialized, like I had a Scooby-Doo chia pet, and you literally just buy it, I put water in it, and there was Scooby-Doo.
I never had one. I
kept thinking you were saying cheese seeds, and I, for about 30 seconds, I was like, you grow cheese? You weren't saying cheese seeds.
Cheese seeds. You know you can grill.
I could have just kept that to myself.
No, but I'm so happy you share, because if anyone was talking about cheese seeds, it would be me. But that's crazy. Has anyone carved a pumpkin yet this season?
Not this season.
Not this season. I've never carved a pumpkin
in my life.
I hadn't till last year, Keith. You got to do it. Really? It's really fun.
It's fun.
You have to save the seeds and roast them. Don't fuck around. Do not. If anyone tells you, throw them away, they're waste. Wash them and put some
garlic salt on them.
That's Rachel Chada. She's right.
I should tell other people to throw their seeds away, and I'll throw it away for them.
Yes.
Stingy Keith.
Last year, Kara and I painted them because Kara gets freaked out by the cats. So we painted them, and that was fun. We put on like a spooky podcast.
Nice.
Dimmed the lighting, not in like a sexy way, in like a spooky way. And there was no spicy time happening after that. We were like, ghosts. Chloe. That fact was as hot as fucking a ghost.
Wow, thank you.
To each their
own. Did you see American Horror Story?
No.
Okay.
I love Sarah
Paulson. Big plot in Sarah Paulson.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as when you get a really huge pumpkin, and so to light it, you got to put in like 6 candles. So your fact is as hot as all the accumulative candle heat.
That's a lot. That's scary.
Chloe, that fact was as hot as... the blowjob that Ray, the character in Ghostbusters, got from the ghost in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, I need to see it.
Yeah, I was just like, wow.
It's a literal eyes crossed, like,
yeah.
Oh my
god.
Yeah.
Well, they've rebooted Ghostbusters with a bunch of kids, so I'm sure that scene is still in
there. Oh, my goodness.
In Ghostbusters Afterlife. Where just there's a scene where one of the kids is like, oh, so sorry, I'm so fast.
God.
No.
Come back.
This is the podcast episode that when one of us gets SNL, they're going to play and be like, cancel them all. Just kidding, we're not horrible.
So, just kidding, you're not getting yes or no.
Yeah, that's what I do. You're going to say.
Also that.
Oh, I mean.
Don't manifest that.
Fun fact, the people who used to live in this flat all just got hired as writers in SNL. Probably not because they used to live in this flat, probably more because they're all like rich white kids who have very connected industry parents. But
I lived here before.
Please don't destroy it.
Oh.
Like if you look at some of the early videos that were like set in this
in his apartment.
Oh, yes, you've shown me.
Shem showed me and it was so freaky.
Very upsetting.
Oh, I did not. That's what.
What?
Adam Sandler?
Yes. the Young Hip Comedy Collective. Please Don't Destroy featuring the Uncut Gem himself, Adam Sandler.
The Uncut Gem.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brother.
Do we have all the ratings?
No, Chloe. That fact was as hot as Stingy Jack gets anytime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, just his face anytime he goes, how much?
I guess I'm the only one of Jewish descent that was like, this feels so anti-Semitic. As soon as you said Stingy Jack, I was like, oh, God, we talked about the devil and stingy. Here's my part to enter.
I mean, it's an adjective.
It's normally applied to, like, Scottish or Scottish people in the UK. And it is also, like, it's... As a term, it's less loaded in the UK because it's applied to a bunch of like different people.
Yeah,
that
here it's well, making me sweat.
People would like say it like if someone wasn't going to buy around at the pub, like I can, I would have
been stingy.
Yeah,
mate.
Like don't be stingy.
Yeah,
get you all out.
I feel like they'd say it here, but it'd be like someone's Irish Catholic dad yelling at someone like, I don't fucking work with that.
Maybe it's because my family was. I have a lot of cheap uncles where my family would just be like, can you not be so freaking cheap? You're being so stingy. Can you stop?
I have a cheap dad, but it's different. She's Indian.
That's fair.
Anyways, it's fine. Everyone's fine. What's more than fine is Keith.
Yeah.
Who is... Never mind. I was going to try to make an uncut gem pun and it just all went to bad places in my head. Keith, thank you so much for doing this. You have the power. The honor of picking today's hottest fact, and I'm gonna say you can and you should pick yourself because your fact is really freaking hot. But if there was one that tickled your fancy more than another, Now is the time. We will recap our facts.
Yeah. April Fool's was a calendar switch.
Big old yard sale. Then yours. The
We don't have time. We don't have time.
The delights and frights of World War II. Delights.
Ice cream trucks and the police.
Pumpkin carving.
Oh, God. I changed my mind so many times during. But, Chloe, you pulled it out of the bag.
Yes.
Just for the name Stingy Jack alone. Like, that's the greatest name of all time.
Thank you.
Stingy Jack. Yes. And he would love it. He won this.
He would never do this podcast for free.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Keith, thank you so much for doing this. You've called into the pod. You've supported us with your heart, your soul, your laughs, your giggles, your facts. And we just want to say thank you. If our listeners are like, I live in London, where can I see more of Keith? Is there anything you want to send them to? Or you can say no.
No, they can. thank you very much for having me. This is an amazing, genuinely, this is an amazing podcast. You guys kept me company when I was having a lot of gallbladder attacks and I just wanted a little bit of familiarity. I obviously already knew Shannon. Lindsay, so there was comfort there. But I've now felt through all these months and years, I know Rachel and Chloe, and I finally got to meet you colour coordinated beauties.
Yes.
I guess you want to follow. I tell you what, if people want to follow me, I've got a main Twitter account, but actually go to Instagram and follow my new photography account, which is Kung Fu Photography.
Hell yeah.
It's brand new. I don't know what I'm doing. So you can just see terrible, terrible photos as I start. And then in about 2 or 3 years, terrible, terrible photos when I should be much better. That's going to be the thing.
The slowest build.
I love that.
I am on Twitter at Keith Aguna, but honestly, unless you're into like football, don't bother following.
He's very modest. He has like 30,000 followers. He's like a huge influencer in the football field.
35,000. I'm not even joking.
I'll send it to my cousin, whose partner is a huge Chelsea fan.
I'll send it to my British boss, who loves soccer.
Well, that's a good fit.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you, Keith. As always,
thank you so much.
We Are Trash Comedy. You can follow us at We Are Trash Comedy on all the things. You can email us at wearetrashcomedy@gmail.com. Like Keith, you can send us a friggin' voice fact and we will listen to it and be happy. We are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network, and that's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.
That's why we were playing this song.
We are always this coordinated.
To be fair, Shem changed into a yellow shirt.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I have a clean shirt. Yeah.
I love it. How are you? It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. I feel like I feel like I know you already.
Same.
It's crazy, right?
I know.
I've sent my ambassadors out to
That's why we've been here the whole time, just to meet you both. Yeah. And send audio recordings to Keith.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. How are the levels looking, Shem?
Can I get a level check from Lindsay?
Hello.
All right. Can I get a level check from Rachel?
Hello.
Oh, not a sexy check.
Alone. Okay, sorry. Hi.
Great. And Chloe?
Hi. I've just lost my headphones.
Okay, great.
Black and yellow.
And you going back?
Yep.
Great. And Chloe?
I love my beef jerky.
And is that how you're going to be talking quietly?
I'm going to talk like this.
Great.
And this is the test.
Okay, great.
And I've lost my headphones again.
All right, great, cool. I love Keith, I love this.
I have him now. I have him.
Am I loud enough, Shim? Am I too sexy?
Too sexy and just loud enough. Wow, that's a great tagline. Too sexy, but just loud enough. That sounds naughty. Shim got a fancy new board. What's it called? A road board? That's just the brand. It has like fun lights. I wish it wouldn't be helpful to show you because then all the cords would come out.
Can you twist mine again, Shim?
There you go. Oh, beautiful man. Colors.
Ooh. Shim's always got the good set.
I know.
I love it. By the way, it's 10:30 a.m. there, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I genuinely love your podcast. But to realize that you're funny at 10:30 in the morning?
What the? We record in this show? Get it.
Oh, that's a good quote. I feel like...
I can't hear.
I feel like we wake up early. I feel like we're an early bunch.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like we should speak for ourselves, but I come when I should be here.
I was going to say every time I've called Chloe a late riser, you get mad at me and you say, no, I'm an early bird.
I'm a liar. I'm an early bird, but I'm not happy about it. But I get deeply disappointed if I like sleep through the morning and then I'm like, well, the day's over. Might as well go back to bed.
Yeah. Try again tomorrow.
Yes.
Super. So we're all ready to roll. I'm recording here and there. Who is hosting?
I'm hosting.
Great. Did you want to give Keith a rundown of what's happening?
Yes. No, I was going to do that.
Superb.
Okay. So here's the deal. You have listened to the podcast, so I feel silly being like, our podcast is about facts. Okay, you'll get the full spiel. Okay, so at the very beginning, I will do an official intro to the show, and I will end it with, my name's Rachel, and here's a fact about myself. It's not the big fact of the day. It's just a small little fact about me. Then it will go, Chloe, Lindsay, Shim, and then you. And you can say, hi, my name's Keith, and here's a little thing about me. Sometimes they like follow a theme, but most times they don't. They don't have to. It can be anything you want to say about yourself. Then I'll give you an official grand introduction, which, how would you like me to introduce you? And is there anything you would like me to plug?
I would like you to play the entire full album length version of Purple Rain. I don't know. Fat Guy from London. I don't know.
Keith is a fat guy from London who is a Prince fan and has a very important job. Twitch.
Oh my God.
I just feel like so impressed.
Oh, don't be. Don't worry. Like it. Yeah. I've made it sound better than this.
He's telling the truth.
Okay.
You're still a comedian, Keith.
Yeah.
But like mostly just London-based comedian and Arsenal fan.
Yeah. Arsenal fan?
Or like, Tottenham fan, like whichever you want.
Tottenham fan?
Arsenal.
Arsenal?
Arsenal. What kind of sport is that?
Football.
As in soccer?
As in football.
Yes, soccer. As in soccer. Use your lesbian.
as in the Ted Lasso sport.
Okay, good. I've only seen one episode of Ted Lasso. Because I don't have Apple TV Plus. Okay, fine. I'll find some mixture of all of those things. Beautiful. And your last name is pronounced Malda.
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong?
Rachel, is it? I think we've got very similar. Your dad's from India, right?
Yeah.
Technically, your step. It's like listening to myself. He's technically my stepdad.
Yeah, but you got your last name.
My dad. And it's Malda. It's a small region in the Punjab in India.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've got no idea how to pronounce it.
Okay, beautiful. We love it.
Well, maybe I'll save this. I just thought of another.
Save it for the pod.
I'll save it in case it's.
Okay, yeah, save it for the pod. Oh, I love that. Wow, beautiful. Does your family also assume that you can't handle spicy food, so they make you special white people food? And I go, I can do it, guys.
I can do it.
And my mom's like, I can't.
But the special white people food. is amazing. They'll do, like, you know, chapati. Sugar, let's eat butter and sugar.
Yeah.
Just, I have no tea for sugar.
I thought they made you like a chipati. That was a special white people version with just fries.
Just make you like a, here's a hamburger and fries, or fish and chips.
Correct.
Or our friends across the pond. I'm so sorry. Some of the best Indian food I've ever had was in London. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I still think about it.
Yeah, colonialism isn't all bad.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah, we took some back.
What are you trying to say?
Oh, boy.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, I'm from Boston. What do we have?
What did I do? I'm just white and from the first settlement in America.
I got dizzy.
I don't even think that's accurate. Okay? What was it, Virginia?
I think the caffeine came through my foot like garlic.
Meanwhile, I have none, so I'm like, who
Wait,
are
really?
You people?
I think something's happened to me where I feel so dizzy.
Are you okay?
Have like, I'm fine.
Do you need water?
No, I'm fine, but it's weird, and I think I got the caffeine up my foot.
Chloe spilled moments before so we were due to start. Yeah. Chloe upended an entire espresso, which had way more coffee than any of us thought.
Yeah.
And it went all over the table, all over the floor, but hit Rachel's feet, which were in sandals. And Rachel is worried that she's being affected by the caffeine, which she never has.
It happens. It happens. We had a police officer that had seized some drugs. And they weren't wearing gloves when they, I don't know, this is just a really elaborate excuse for what happened next, but that police officer went crazy and started beating up all of his colleagues in custody. And it turned out that he had absorbed these really weird drugs into his system so you can absorb, if you start beating those, I will know, I will be your witness.
Well,
this is a free license to do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Sarge, I just touched a racist.
I accidentally ate a granola bar that had caffeine in it, and I felt exactly like this.
And it probably is that.
And I felt crazy. Wait. A granola bar, they have these...
No, but did you accidentally eat the bar, or did you accidentally eat it and it had caffeine?
I didn't know that... I knew that I was eating the bar, but I did not know that it had caffeine. It said 60 in really big numbers or type on the thing, and I thought that meant calories. And I was like, oh, a low-calorie breakfast bar? I'm in. And then I was reading the package as I was eating, and it was like, enough grams of caffeine as a shot of espresso. And I went, uh-oh, I never drink espresso. And then I threw up at work, and I had to leave. So if I throw up on the spot, it's because my